months from the book of Ephesians. In the book of Revelation, the Lord actually said, I'm calling you to return to your first love. And all of us need seasons of renewal. We all need a place where we're reinvigorating our commitment to the Lord Jesus and our engagement in his church, as he reminded us last week in Ephesians 1, that our inheritance is in the saints. The glorious inheritance of the saints is in the saints. And so it is in us walking together and loving one another. But it was also in that passage something that stood out to me that I wanted to share with you for a few minutes this morning. And again, our faith is based upon signs in the heavens, at least in part. Now, God spoke to Abraham right from the beginning and said, look up in the sky and count the stars if you can. You and your wife, who are very old, well past childbearing years, he said, you'll have more children than the stars in the heavens. And the Bible tells us Abraham believed him and counted it to him as righteousness. Now, the Christmas story is one. In Jesus' first coming, there were signs in the heavens. And we know the story's been told in various ways that there were those paying attention, and they saw those signs, and because of those signs, they rose up to go find the one who was born King of the Jews. And they went to worship him. We think there were three because the Bible tells us there were three gifts. We actually don't know how many there were. It's probably a very large entourage, but we know they came from a very distant land. And here's the thing. They looked up in the sky. They saw a sign. They went to find one that they actually believed was born King of the Jews, and they found him. And the Bible tells us that they worshiped him. Now, they, very brilliant astronomers, apparently, as well as Joseph, who was the earthly father of Jesus, he was his stepdad in that way. They also paid attention to dreams. And again, I know sometimes we dismiss so much. I'm just urging you not to dismiss things in these days. Had Joseph and the wise men not paid attention to their dreams, then the evil one would have succeeded and the Messiah, Jesus, would have been killed. But they went around that. So last week, as we finished chapter 1, it says here in 19 to 21, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So I just really wanted to take a moment because I felt like I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't speed past this. Don't miss this moment. I believe these signs in the heavens are helping us to contemplate again the very true reality of Jesus' second coming. Like in his first comings, there were signs in the heavens, there were signs in the earth, and I felt again like the Lord wanted me to exhort you today in love and tell you, I hear two different excuses. One of them is that, well, the day of the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night, and that no one knows the day or the hour, and so it's unknowable. You can't know it, so why even bother? I believe people use these as excuses not to pay attention. They use it as excuses not to read their Bibles. They use it as an excuse not to pray. I think, in fact, a lot of people have, and forgive me, but this will be strong, you drank the Kool-Aid that says you're not going to be here anyway. Now, it could be that your days are perhaps almost past, and maybe you won't be. But if you think that you're going to be caught up out of the mess that's coming, read your Bible again. And you'll see it's very clear. The Lord himself says to us in Matthew 24, immediately after those days, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. So if we're going to be out of here, why would he say we're going to see that? Or why would he say, watch, therefore, because you don't know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That doesn't mean we won't know. I mean, why watch unless, as we watch, it will be revealed to us. There is, for instance, Jewish idioms found out throughout the Bible, and it's possible, I just want to suggest this to you, that when Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour, it was kind of like, wink, wink. No one knows the day or the hour. And here's the wink, wink, all right? Rosh Hashanah, that is coming up, they're just Jewish words, it means the head of the year. It's a 48-hour period. It's the day, it's the head of the year, but Rosh Hashanah actually lasts for 48 hours because they're looking for the appearance of the moon. They wait for a sliver, and then they blow the trumpet. This is the Feast of Trumpets. I believe this is the feast that the Lord was speaking of when he said, at the last trumpet, the dead will rise. This is that season. But understand, they weren't sure when in the 48 hours the moon would appear. And so it's called the hidden day, and that's how it is observed. When I was in Israel some years ago, out of all the excavating that they had done, you know, the Romans pushed the temple right off of the Temple Mount back in 70 AD. One of the stones that they excavated said in Hebrew, in the stone, for the trumpeter. And it was from that corner of the temple platform they would be searching the sky. And as soon as it was spotted, then they would blow the trumpet and declare the new year, the head of the year. But it was a hidden day. No one would know the day or the hour. And so what if it's possible that God was saying, bah, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, not even the angels, only the Father knows, so why bother? I don't think he was saying that. I think he was saying, pay attention. Pay attention. So we have Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, Yom Kippur, and then Tabernacles, Jesus being with us. The hidden day happens to fall on September 21st and 2nd. It's a 48-hour day, and they'll be again watching for the appearance. They'll blow the trumpet. It's in part the same thing as when the bridegroom comes. Understand the language that Jesus used to describe his coming to us. Some of the final parables that he taught us before he went to the cross, and that in this place then, they then sound the shofar. And so the word of the Lord to us today is that you are children of light. So from Ephesians 1, let me just take us to 1 Thessalonians 5. There's three movements here. I'll take you through them quickly. Bondservants now, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they'll not escape. And so understand, you know, those labor pains that come are not because this is going to be something horrible, something good is about to happen. Something, a child is coming forth. Something's going to be born. Life is coming. Now, but understand that there's a season, and I've been up close to the birth of children, our children, and it is what he said. He goes, for a moment, all you can think of is, wow, does this hurt? But you do get to the other side, and like the Lord said, once you see the child, you'll forget about all the pain. I don't know if it's fully like, well, I'm sure it is. The Lord said it, so I know it's the truth, even though it didn't happen to my body. But wow, what a process. Well, here's the thing again. Some people are saying, see, he said it'll come like a thief in the night, so you can't even know. Well, more on that in just a moment. But it does say here that when people are saying peace and security, these things are going to begin to happen, and this birthing, this new season is going to come upon us. Well, it just so happens that this year, on September the 21st, there'll also be what the UN has called the International Day of Peace. After 9/11 in 2001, it used to just fall on the third Tuesday, but they moved it to the 21st always. And it just so happens that this year, and, you know, in that year, it happened, of course, in New York City, that there was a terrorist attack as they were opening the UN that day. And in that, they decided for it to be the 21st. But this year, their theme is peace and respect and safety and dignity. So it's kind of interesting that they've decided this year, on that very same day of Rosh Hashanah, to declare peace and safety. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. This unusual sign that's happening then on the 23rd is in the heavens. And if that's Revelation chapter 12, then we ought to be paying attention. I just hear the Lord saying, watch and pray. Pay attention. When is this happening? On the 21st. And so we're watching the 21st and 2nd, because there's a hidden day. And so Rosh Hashanah this year is lining up with those very things. And then he does talk about some things on the other side of that that might be difficult. But listen what he says, movement number 2. But you are not in darkness, brothers and sisters, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You're all children of light, children of the day. You're not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do. Let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. So he's encouraging us. He says that it's not as a thief upon everybody, but instead he said there are those who are children of light, that instead of sleepwalking your way through life, you could be awake. You could be paying attention. You could be watching and praying. And we really need each other in these days to understand these things and know what to do. Eugene Peterson, the one who did the translation in our modern vernacular called The Message, translated this passage this way. But friends, he said, you're not in the dark, so how could you be taken off guard by any of this? You're sons of light, daughters of day. We live under wide open skies and know where we stand. Let's not sleepwalk through life like those others. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. People sleep at night and get drunk at night, but not us. Since we're creatures of the day, let's act like it. Walk out into the daylight, sober, dressed up in faith, love, and the hope of salvation. We're to be those who are dressed and ready for action. We're those to be lifting up our heads, because this is our greatest moment and the King is coming. Leads us in then to the final movement of this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So I just want to highlight, there's 3 words here. You might recognize them. Faith, love, and hope in this particular context. But you remember it as faith, hope, and love from 1 Corinthians 13, right? Now these 3 abide, but the greatest of these is love. So the most important thing you would do right now is love. Is love. The most important thing you're going to keep doing is keep loving the people around you. It's going to get really hard. It's going to get really challenging. Keep loving. 1 Corinthians 13 highlights these, but it's not the only place. Faith, hope, and love are highlighted. It says here, I'll try to make it a little bigger for you. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. So you can receive in this day of salvation the free gift of God. To be saved, to know that whatever happens in this life, you're safe and secure. The peace and safety that the UN cannot provide for us, Jesus can. So we can be those who are confident in bedrock faith. The kind of hope, Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. That in the midst, Hebrews 6 tells us, in the midst of very difficult times, hope is our anchor, and our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, love, which Jesus spoke about in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. In fact, he said, this is, everything boils down to this. Just focus on loving people. End of the day, you know, when you stand before the Lord, the big deal is going to be, did you keep loving people? So just make that your aim right now. Make love your aim, and you'll be doing the right thing, and you'll be treating people the right way. Now, in here it says, again, I don't want to skip past this because I know this has been a tripping point for people, that God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that has been used to say, so we won't be here. Read your Bible carefully. It is not what this passage is saying for sure. And it's not what it says in the end, especially as you read through the book of Revelation. He calls about the perseverance of the saints. And he said, this calls for the perseverance of the saints. And blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. There'll be seasons of martyrdom, and it will be difficult. But I trust God will give us what we need. Now, I do agree that God has not appointed us for wrath. If you're in Jesus, you're shielded. He's not going to pour his wrath out upon you. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Hallelujah. But that is not the same thing as persecution. Tell these men, you won't fall under the wrath of God. You know, when all that head stuff starts rolling, we'll be out of here. Well, not so much on the beach in Egypt a few months back. These men were taken, 21 of them, out to the beach by ISIS, and they lost their heads. There was a video made, ISIS trying to terrorize the world, pretty successful. But they're just men. Not one of them recanted their faith. Is that amazing? Let it encourage you. God, whatever comes, I could stand. I could make it. They made a video, and they cut out this last part. This person here says, ISIS, don't cut out the audio. Because their last words were, we give our lives to you, Lord Jesus Christ. They remain faithful. Now, I know this will be difficult, but many of you have seen, remember Brian Scrunchwat, who was here some years ago, went through a horrific fire here in one of the industries of our region. But there are people who have attacked other believers in the world and burned them because of their faith in Jesus. But I want to show you this picture because I want you to see the smile on this woman's face. Her name is Yubelina. She's an Indonesian follower of Jesus, badly burned by an attack on her Christian village. Someone wrote this about her. Her skin is splotchy, ranges in color from light brown to red to white. Much of it is leathery. Her nose is disfigured. She has a purplish-colored patch of skin in between her bottom lip and the bottom of her chin. Her upper lip is peeling. Her left eye is white and red. Her pupil is clearly no longer able to see. But she is smiling. A huge smile. Joy radiates from her. Why? She must receive stares. Children are probably afraid of her. The world would call her damaged, ugly. But Yubelina has figured out where her identity lies. She's a treasured child of the king. She has traded a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, Isaiah 61:3. Her smile reveals Jesus. Yubelina is beautiful. I guarantee she has a joy, a contentment that no name brand, trendy clothing, no perfect haircut and makeup, no flawless skin or toned body can bring. This is true beauty. We know it's been this way from the beginning. I mean, tell the first century believers who were literally thrown to the lions, who were crucified, lit on fire, we'll be out of here. I just tell you, just prepare. God will give grace for everything that's ahead for us. And he's promised to shield a lot of people. And I always pray for that. And I'll tell you why as I close here in just a moment. But I'm just reminding you, there are many believers in the world today who are imprisoned for their faith. They are not escaping, but God's giving them grace to persevere in faith as a testimony to him, even though it costs them dearly. It says here then in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is actually the bookend that starts this 11-verse statement here in 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's the ending of the statement in chapter 4, 13 to 18, where he says, I don't want you to grieve like the rest of people who have no hope. So we know that those who have died in Christ are coming with him, and those who have died will rise first at the last trumpet. They will rise, and we who are still here, can I say it again? We who are still here will be changed in a moment. And we will be caught up in the clouds. And this is when wrath gets poured out. We'll be caught up in the clouds. We will meet him. And then we will return here with him. And we will be together forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Well, here's why I have hope. Because the Lord Jesus himself said, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. First of all, because you're still here, all right? Because your redemption is drawing near. He goes on to say, but watch yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, my hope is not that I'll be snatched up out of this, but I'll have grace to stand for whatever's coming. And I believe he's going to give that to us. I believe that just like the ones who were tossed to the lions, should it get that horrific, he gave them a special grace. I remember the testimonies that are written down for us that in the Middle Ages, when they were burning people at the stake, people were scared out of their minds. And so they agreed, when the flames finally burn the ropes off of your hands, if the Father has given you grace, point to heaven so we'll know, because we're scared. And the testimonies of those who were there, out of the flames and the smoke, they would see hands pointed to heaven. He's given me grace. He's given me grace. Don't be afraid. And those people died. There's a special blessing for those, should that be your lot in life. Know this, the Lord Jesus said, if the master of the house had known at what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and wouldn't have let his house be broken into. Therefore, he says, you must be ready. The Son of Man coming at a time you don't expect. Be praying for this man in the middle, Governor Rick Scott. But as my wife and I were watching the news and I listened to this man cry out to his people, he said, we can rebuild your houses. We can replace your stuff. Now is the time for safety. Do everything you can to save your life. I heard that and I thought, it's the gospel. It's Jesus calling out to us. The houses will be rebuilt. There is It's not the end of the world that's coming, friends. It's the end of the age. And there's another side, and something wonderful is coming. And the Lord is going to rule the earth with such effectiveness, we won't even train for war anymore. Who can imagine? Talk about a day of peace. But listen, he is crying out to us. Are you awake? Are you watching? Are you praying? I remember this. He said in the midst of it, so this is it, friends. We've got to be ready. As Governor Scott said to his people, he said, please listen to us now and prepare, because when the storm comes, we can't come for you. So if you need us, call us now. Friends, I believe that's what the Lord is saying to us and through us to people around us. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to know you're on the rock. Now is the time to know you're confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will be our message in this hour. Our message will be, hey, friends, there's high ground. There's a place to rally. And you can be okay. Come rally to Jesus with us. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I want to pray for my friends here. We're watching, we're seeing, we're hearing. We're praying for mercy here in the earth and in these times. And Lord, as you spoke even in your days here, it's not like those are worse people than us. But you're speaking to all of us. We ask for mercy upon those who are dwelling in that place. But we pray knowing, God, you're talking to the whole nation. You're talking to all of us if we just have ears to hear. Hey, if there's anybody here today and you are just simply not sure that you're standing on the rock of Jesus, but you want to be, you want to be safe and secure, safe from all alarms, is what the old song says. Let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't do this often, but if that's you and you just want to be sure, just put your hand up in the air and leave it there. Just put your hand and say, I want to be sure. I want to be confident. I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. So here goes. I mean, if that's you, if you want to be sure and you're just not, just put your hand in the air. God sees you. I'm not going to peek at you. This isn't for me. This is you stating your faith by a simple act. And you can simply say this, Father God in heaven, I need you. I cannot make it on my own. I have sinned and done wrong things, and I need your forgiveness. But I don't want to perish. I want the gift of eternal life that you're giving me by faith. I express my faith in Jesus. I believe he died for me. He rose from the dead. And I declare he is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. I rest in you. You are my confidence. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, for all of us who are confident, fill us now with a holy boldness, even if we are the quiet evangelists. Let us not be so quiet that they never hear the name of Jesus. Let us be those, if it's not these days, we may have many more beautiful, sunny, lovely days, but when that time comes, if this is that season, we want to be a people ready to give an answer for the hope we have. So fill us with a holy, kind, loving, gentle boldness that says, hey, there's a place to stand. You'll be okay. Call on Jesus with me. So, Father, be with us now as we go from this place. Continue to speak to us in these days. We want to be a people not fast asleep, not sleepwalking our way through life. We want to be wide awake, doing what matters most, loving people, and revealing your love to them in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all we have time for today, so God bless you. You're all welcome. If you'd like to come tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be watching the video together, and then we'll also have a time for question and answer. Could be about stuff I've talked about this morning or things we watched together in the video tonight from 6 to 8 o'clock. So God bless you. Thank you for coming today. We'll continue on into Ephesians 2 next week.